Welcome to KPFA Presents. This is our series celebrating Asian American heritage and identity in the Bay Area. We're bringing you segments that were featured on our special broadcast, which is also available on Area 94.1. I'm your host, Lucy Kang. In Berkeley, in front of a house on Hearst Avenue, is a small plaque that proclaims birthplace of the Asian American movement. Because it was here in May of 1968 where Yuji Ichioka and Emma G, two Berkeley students, called the meeting with other students of Asian descent to form a political organization, the first of its kind. Up next, we'll hear from Harvey Dong, ethnic studies professor at UC Berkeley, who had become part of the organization that was created, the Asian American Political Alliance. The term Asian American would go on to become a rallying cry, uniting people of Asian descent, including for the fight to bring ethnic studies to UC Berkeley and San Francisco State University. Harvey spoke with Miko Lee, host of KPFA's Apex Express. Here's their conversation.
Welcome, Harvey Dong, professor of Asian American and Asian Diaspora Studies in the Ethnic Studies Department at UC Berkeley and owner of East Wind Books. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me today.
So many times I walk through the streets of Berkeley where I live and around the corner from KPFA station on 2005 Hearst Avenue, there is a plaque that reads the birthplace of the Asian American movement. And you were part of that. Can you tell me how that came to be?
Yeah, that was a location that the term Asian American was introduced. At that time, around May of 1968, there was a meeting called by Yuji Ichioka and his partner Emma G. Both of them were civil rights activists in the Deep South. And Yuji went to graduate school at UC Berkeley, and both of them brought their civil rights movement experience to the Berkeley campus. And what they did was they called a meeting of Asian Americans in the city of Berkeley, Asian American students that they could locate. And at this meeting, a number of people were present, and it was discussed about the need to bring Asian Americans together to form a political organization. And that organization was the Asian American Political Alliance. It was a political organization. It wasn't a cultural-only organization. And its politics was anti-imperialist, anti-capitalist. And it sought solidarity with peoples of color. It did work with the Black Panther Party at that time. Richard Aoki was a member of the Black Panthers, and he was a founding member of the Asian American Political Alliance. We were influenced by the Black Panther Party at that time, and the Black Panthers believed in this idea of rainbow coalition. Rainbow coalitions were built nationally because of the influence of the Black Panthers. Locations such as Chicago, there were rainbow coalitions that included Young Lords, American Indian Movement, and even the white working class organization. I believe it was called the Patriot Party.
That Patriot Party has such a different connotation now.
Yes, definitely. The Panthers were concerned about the need to bring together all oppressed people, and they didn't want to give up white oppressed people to fascism. So they definitely made attempts to reach out. And I remember it was a very inclusive atmosphere. You could go to rallies, support events, and Black people, Asian people, Native Americans, progressive whites, Latinx people, we all had this feeling and vision of solidarity, and we were going to change the world together. But I think we can look at that period as a forward beginning point, you know. So AAPA, from its very origins, I would say was a positive step for the Asian American community to be connected with their own community, not just on campus, but in throughout the Bay Area, such as the Chinatowns in Oakland, Manila Town in SF, and so forth, but also to connect with communities beyond the Asian American community. So lots of that type of work and activity was going on. Today, SF State has a College of Ethnic Studies, and at UC Berkeley, we have a Department of Ethnic Studies with an Asian American and Asian Diaspora Studies program within the Ethnic Studies Department. And we were able to do that because we came together, Thorwell Liberation Front at UC Berkeley, preceded by a TWLF at San Francisco State, to demand Third World Studies on the campus. And Third World Studies programs that would be relevant to meeting the needs of each other's community. So there was a solidarity that was built, and I think you could say there was a bonding that was created, and it was a very positive atmosphere.
So San Francisco State's student strike happened, and the fight for ethnic studies happened at San Francisco State first and then went to UC Berkeley. Is that right?
It happened in November 68 at SF State. Berkeley, the Third World Liberation Front strike, took place in January of 1969. And there was cross-bay types of supports. People would go to SF State, and SF State people would come to Berkeley. So definitely it was a movement, you know. We all felt we were fighting for the same things.
So you were organizing together, UC Berkeley and San Francisco?
We organized together, we shared experiences and speakers. I remember speakers from SF State would come to speak at our indoor rallies and as well as outdoor marches and protests. The governor, Ronald Reagan, at that time was dead set against having Third World Studies. You know, he was absolutely against it. The mayor, Ali Odo, was opposed to it. So National Guards were called on campus here at UC Berkeley. They did everything they could to stop the protests, which included mass arrests, beatings of students, the use of tear gas, flying over helicopters all across UC Berkeley campus, dumping CS gas, which was a stronger form of tear gas, onto crowds of students and people who weren't even involved in the strike that was going on, also got gassed. We were able to gain wide-scale public support to the point where the Academic Senate voted 550 to 4 in favor of the establishment of an interim College of Ethnic Studies pending further negotiations for a full college. So that's how Asian American Studies began at UC Berkeley, because of a 10-week-long student-led protest alliance between Asians, Blacks, Chicanos, and Native American peoples, supported by progressive whites.
The term Asian American, at the time, most folks were using the term Oriental. How did you all come up with that terminology, Asian American?
At the meeting at Hearst and Milvia, as people left, one of the questions raised was, well, what should we call this organization? The idea of the term Asian American was suggested by both Yuji Ichioka and his partner, Emma G. They were able to introduce this term, which grabbed hold, and that caught on.
And it really caught on, and we still use it today. We oftentimes include Pacific Islander as a piece of that. I know that can be controversial. How do you think that has worked in terms of pulling it together, a political identity? Do you think it's been successful having that terminology?
I think at that time there were only 800,000 Asian Americans in the entire United States, thanks to the Asian Exclusion Act. There was lots of racism, against Asian Americans, and definitely we could not fight that on a single ethnic basis. It was affecting all of us. There was definitely a common Asian American experience due to our experience and history in America. Since then, in the post-1965 period, where you have large-scale migration from throughout Asia, as well as refugee migration, there's been some challenges with regard to that term. But I think if you think about it today, the anti-Asian racism and division in America, the term Asian American is still valid.
Okay, my last question for you is, what would Harvey now say to Harvey that was organizing in the student protest in 1969?
I think I would do the same thing. You know, I got out of my comfort zone. I was a UC Berkeley student living in the dorms. I was having conversations about the Vietnam War with my fellow dorm mates. We'd talk and argue. I'd go to protests on my own. I went to Stop the Draft Week in 1967, 1968. So that took me out of my comfort zone because I had to get up at 4 in the morning to go to the induction center in Oakland to protest the induction of young men being drafted into the military to go to fight the war in Vietnam, you know. So definitely I would do the same thing. I went to Black Panther events when the Black Panthers were being threatened with violence. I remember myself and classmates would go down to the Black Panther office and bring our books, and we'd sit in the Black Panther office to support the Black Panthers, you know, as students. You know, so all these things were challenges for us at that time. I think the most important thing was that we felt that we had to do something. You know, we had to be there.
Thank you, Harvey, so much for all the work that you have done and that you continue to do. And I thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me, and thank you for your questions.
Thanks for joining us on KPFA Presents. Find other stories like this on Area 94.1 at kpfa.org. Our music is Mark Izu's Come On, Let's Go, featuring James Newton and Jim Hee Kim.